Okay. So, I guess I have one more handout here. Help some of you guys. Okay. So, not about us to go around. Do you get one?
Not yet.
I've got more. I want you to have one so you can take it home if you want to.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Anybody else didn't get one, Tom?
Two more.
There's three. There's Jim, he's going to need one. Here you go, Jim. Okay, well, we'll do a little review of this tool, livingprooflessons.com. And just as, I guess, background, I first heard of Living Proof in around 1993 or 4. A guy named Joe Coggeshall put together the first video, cost him $1 million, put together a, it's called VCR, right? Of it. It was a story. We watched it. Rick and I watched it. We had a copy down at Three Rivers and kind of began to change my life to realize that, traditionally every America was a Judeo-Christian moral country. And so you just needed to keep telling them about Jesus. They said 7 times about his salvation and people would turn. Well, people don't hear about Jesus anymore in their homes, from their relatives like they used to, and America is not a Judeo-Christian moral country anymore. So we have to get into people's lives first before we try to preach the gospel to them, because they don't know anything. They don't know who Daniel was or Noah, or they know none of that. Okay, they've never heard it. So it's kind of like trying to tell a person something from India and speak to them in English. You know, what are you talking about? I don't even understand you. So, Living Proof. Now we've changed, because when we first did this back in the 90s and early 2000, maybe you could get people to come by your house and sit down for a couple hours to watch a video. But people don't do that much anymore. They don't have the patience with this. If I get a text message and it's very long, I don't read it. If I get an email, it's got a video in it, I look at it and it's longer than 3 minutes, I don't watch it. It's just the way we are now. We've got so much information coming at us that we've got to change things and put it in a package where people can understand it. And so getting back, our topic is, how can I be a spiritually effective friend to the lost? And I said, you got to change. You got to move with the times. And one of the ways that we can help our Christian friends, our believer friends, is this tool. This is a great tool. There's 12 sessions in it. They're short. You can look at it on your phone. You can watch it while you're on the pot. Whatever, you know. I mean, there's times when you get a few minutes, and I don't know if your day is like that, But my day is like that, and I'm retired. If I get a few minutes, you know, I try to take advantage of whatever I can. But you can sit with your Timothy and help him understand how he may be able to attract some lost people into his life that he could sow the Word of God into. And so we think it's, Dave and I put it together. Dave had a lot to do with what's in it, the text of it, I guess you might say. I had to figure out at my age how to build a website and how to do that part of it and put it in something that could be delivered to people. And we had some good technical people, thanks to Tom Haynes, that helped us put this thing together. And it's a technology that's kind of being used by a lot of businesses today. Click on the website and you've got it on your phone, put it on your home page, and it's right there anytime you need it. You don't have to go look through your bookshelf for it. Okay, so what I've given you here first is a, nice if I got the right page. I've given you the sections of the teaching. Each one of these lasts maybe 6-7 at the most 8 minutes, but they're in little section where you don't have to listen to all of each part of each section. You might listen to one that's two minutes long, one that's 3 minutes long that's in there. But anyway, but we've been using it in Houston in some of our groups, we call focus groups in particular, where the men have been getting into it and looking at it and discussing it. So kind of open up the videos to you today to look at and talk about whatever you seem to be interested in. We started out with communicating with the lost is the first one. And if you look on the second page, you see that the scripture that goes with that is 1 Corinthians 9:19-22, which you should be pretty familiar with by now. So there are 12 of them, 12 scriptures. And here's what I would say to you, that they're well worth being memory verses for you. Get together with somebody and start memorizing those and put them in your heart, because they're at the heart of the teaching and the change. So we've spent a bunch of time on 1 Corinthians 9:19-22 as to the heart of it, and I'm going to try to send to you guys, hopefully by email, some of the notes that we created in our discussion of it today. That's section of scripture as far as what do we got to do so we can actually communicate with lost people, okay, and get into their world and hear their point of view, and keep mine to myself till I get into the sowing phase with them. Okay, that's when we begin to let them know what we think in the sowing phase. All right, does that make sense? Any questions? All right, we will just try a little bit of this. Well, Sam's going to, oh, by the way, normally we would be showing this via the Wi-Fi, internet. They don't have any Wi-Fi here, okay? And we didn't trust trying to get it off the tower. We didn't think that was the way. So we created this thing here that Sam is going to be using, which is not complete of what it looks like. If you've got it on your phone, you can bring it up. As soon as you get into town, you can probably pick it up off the tower. And if you've got the right website. So why don't we just show them the first one there, Sam? It's introductions.
What is living proof? Living proof is a term adapted out of a form of evangelism known as lifestyle evangelism. It means that we, the believers, are the living proof that Jesus lives in us, and that our faith in him makes all the difference in our lives. Living proof evangelism takes place in the everyday life of the believer as he and the non-believer live and work around each other. This series will take you to the basics of becoming an effective living proof person that God can use
to reach the
non-believing people in your life.
Okay, so we all want to be effective, don't we? We ain't got a whole lot of time. We don't want to waste it. Don't want to be going against the, you know, swimming up a river with people. We want to be floating down a river with them, okay? Just enjoying the relationship. And y'all ever float to Guadalupe, you know what I'm talking about. You just kind of float along, got your cooler, drinking your beer, having a good time, listen to music, whatever you do. Okay? Some do other things, but that you can smell. Okay. So section one.
With lost.
Communicating with lost.
Believers and non-believers speak different languages, thus creating a culture gap. It's hard to communicate with someone who speaks a different language. And even though we've grown up in the same neighborhoods and have watched the same TV programs, we Christians speak a remarkably different language from the non-Christians around us. We may use the same words, but the core beliefs and values behind those words are worlds apart. The believer must adjust his conversation if he's to get alongside the non-believer and reach in with the good news of salvation found in Christ.
Okay, stop with it. Okay, I think, is it your third page? I mean, after the memory verses, there's I think it says communicating with the lost that you have. It says successful evangelism, moving a person one step closer in the process. And so the question is, what religious words can you think of that are uncomfortable to a lost person? So, what's your answer to that?
Once you're saved, washed in the blood.
That's pretty heavy, that one.
Church?
Just the word church is uncomfortable to a lot of people. Yeah, any others?
Propitiation.
Yeah.
I'm not even comfortable with that.
How about sin?
Yeah, talking about sin, you know. Just talking about, you know, religious things.
Just,
I know a lot of people today, I don't want to hear anything about politics. Just, you know, it's just such a mess. You don't want to talk about it. And actually, you get down to religion, a lot of people feel that way. They just don't want to hear any more about it. I've heard it. I heard it from my mother. I heard it from my father. I heard it from, you know, I just don't want to hear about it anymore. So we have to be, keep that under wraps with people. Our jargon. You know, years ago we used to go try to bring lost people to what was called the mayor's prayer breakfast. And so you bring this lost guy down to hear the mayor's prayer breakfast, and you sit down at a table, and there's a bunch of Christians sitting there, and you got this lost guy. And all they're doing is talking about their Bible study, their church, their preacher, their Christian stuff. They're using them. And you're sitting there and going, man, this is probably turning this guy off. And so gradually, it seemed like it was harder and harder to get lost people to come to those things because they knew it was just kind of a bunch of Christians talking Christian stuff. And so that's what we tried to move away from, is to take, set up situations where we could bring lost people and not put a lot of Christianese on, jargon, etc., and that sort of thing. So let's look at this. We have a video here of a lady who's kind of talking about how to communicate with the lost. So let's replay that one. By the way, on the second page of this, of three, you'll see there's some points that she makes that you can look at. There's a list of
them. And time. Horses have been part of my household from the time I was a little bit of that. I don't believe that my family lives with the people in order to have a connection with them. The horses were one of the ways that we connected with people. friends that are interested in bucking our way. It's our job to make a connection with them, to teach them that it's okay for us to even get on them. I learned a technique called Join Up from a man called Monty Roberts. He learned this technique by studying wild horses. I can get a horse from any country, and within just a few minutes, using their own language, can form a bridge between us that will allow him to begin to trust me and to follow the willingness. Okay, so I'm going to step in his shoulder, asking him to lead me. I would like to help him see me as the leader, and I'm going to mimic his language. We're going to chase them a certain distance. I will start looking for language, and I want inside ear to be ticking towards me, saying that I'm aware that you're there. Also, give them some head down, and then usually they'll come in towards me a bit. Once I have all those signals in place, then I will invite him to come to me. It's the same idea with people. You can manipulate them into letting having to see your way. Or you can encourage them to see your way, because after all, we have what they need. And it benefits them directly also. And so the idea is to form a partnership, a willing partnership, where each side benefits. And in order to do that, you have to invest time and effort and care and love into those people so the relationships last longer than 20 seconds. And the key is that you have to give up yourself in order to make things better. If they're not ready to hear, if their heart is not ready to hear the gospel, they don't hear it. You have to wait for those moments in time where God is speaking to them, their heart is open, and you can deliver it.
Okay, on page 2-3, says, what key points from the video help you understand how to reach a loss and why? So what jumps out to anybody? Don't want to speak up about these points. On page 2-3, starts out with true connections are built on time and trust. So next to the last page, or it's the last page in the handout. No, next to the last page.
What stuck out for me was don't manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a good persuader. I can manipulate.
Yeah. What do we do instead of manipulate, Rand?
Encourage. Come alongside.
Wait.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of join up is strong.
I'll explain that, Kim.
Well, she joins up with the animal by taking cues from the animal, but it's really a dialogue. She's showing herself to him, he's showing himself to her in the ways that they can each understand. Mm-hmm. And when I meet with someone lost, I've got to pay attention to the cues they give me.
Right.
Many of those are going to be nonverbal.
Okay. So give me an example of a cue.
Okay, so if they're standing there with their arms crossed,
yep,
they're probably not ready to hear anything.
That's right.
If, however, they're leaning forward or they're being somewhat passive in their approach, maybe they are willing to hear.
Mm-hmm. Read people's body language.
Yeah, those are nonverbal cues to me.
Mm-hmm. What else? Got a whole list? Got 10, 12 things there. And that's expensive, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
Might rather be home, feet propped up, watching ESPN, huh? And sit there listening to people talk.
I've always appreciated the cross-cultural nature of Living Proof. We were talking about that in our small group. That it's cross-cultural. No, nobody is resistant to unconditional love.
It's good. Form a bridge with people from any culture. So I don't know how to talk to people from, you know, Haiti. Yeah, you do. Same way you talk to them in Texas, you know. Talk to them about their who they are, their family, themselves. Get into their world. Works in every culture. What do you wait for? Look at it.
Openness.
That means they're ready to hear.
Yes.
Okay. How does she know the horse is ready to hear? Turned his head, didn't he?
Came toward her,
turned his ear.
His ear first, put his head down.
Yeah. So they start, people, you know, you're talking to people and their eyes are glazed over, they're not hearing you. But all of a sudden you see they start listening, and you pick up the key that people are actually listening to you. So you have to get good at coming to understand whether people are actually listening to you, and not getting ahead of God with this whole process. So we have the scripture, which we've been over, and a couple of questions on the last page, 3:3. So there's a question to you. It says, in the above scripture, Paul expressed his behavior of adjusting to the cultures of different people. And how do you feel about that?
Adjust the culture of the people before you talk to them. I'll put on their level.
Yeah, when you were living down in Columbia, you probably learned that, didn't you, Miles?
Yeah.
So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to get into their world? Or is that just too much trouble for you? You know, for most of us, that's a decision I have to make if I want to.
It takes effort. Rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little easier to just hand them a track and say, God bless you, brother, and see you later. Give him a dollar with it, too. Guys down on the side, are we sure? Give him a dollar and a track. Right. Just kidding. Anyhow, nobody here ever did that.
Jake, as a school principal, it's interesting because all the students and all the teachers or parents, I mean, our goal was to love people, right? That's why we were there. But if you had a Hispanic student or an African-American student or an Islamic student or a Caucasian student or a student from poverty, from a background of poverty, you still, your principles didn't change, but you still loved them. You had to be sensitive to their differences. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I would, there's a different language, total different language that some Hispanic kids use than some African American kids.
Yes,
their parenting skills at home are different from Caucasian. So it's just being sensitive to that, but you still love them the same, right?
Yes, sir.
But they have to know the language that you're speaking, and you have to know their language. I guess that's what I really meant.
All right.
So I just kind of thought of that parallel.
That's a good example. Very good example. Of course, our schools are where there's a battleground. That's where people, kids are being secularized, you know, from a particular point of view that's prevalent in the school system today. And it's not a Judeo-Christian one. Okay. You didn't know that, I'm sure you did. Any other thoughts about adjusting to the cultures of people around you?
Intuitive.
Okay, explain intuitively.
Well, in other words, it doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
It isn't something that just, I think it's something you have to be intentional about to be able to stop talking about yourself and ask more questions?
Yeah. In the video, she talked about developing techniques. So, have you developed techniques for discipling men? Have you developed techniques for communicating with lost people? And that's what I've been doing in my life, trying to develop these techniques of communicating with people from different cultures and discipling men who are in different places, and not trying to put every guy in a square peg in every round hole. Yeah. And so it's work, I think it's very challenging and very rewarding when you begin to actually communicate with people who are different from you.
And you know, in some ways, it is intuitive. I mean, I'm in sales, and so if I walk into somebody's house and they're Indian or Asian, I'm going to take my shoes off at the front door. If I walk into your house, I'm not going to, you know. So I don't want to offend these people because I want to do business with them. So I'm very sensitive to the cultural differences in the marketplace. You know, taking that and applying it to the kingdom has been challenging for me. But it is intuitive. I mean, I intuitively take into consideration if I have a black homeowner, you know, I'm not talking bad about Obama. So it is kind of intuitive. But for me, the biggest struggle for me has been jettisoning my own agenda to where that I'm willing to make time to enter into this person's world.
Good, great, okay. So question number two, what are some topics your non-believing friends talk about that make you feel uncomfortable and why? Mm-hmm.